What is up, and welcome to NXpress, the Nintendo show from GoombaStomp.com. I am one of your hosts, Tim Mason. Here to my right, I've got Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation?
And also to my right, because that's how states work, I've got Patrick Murphy.
I thought I was going to be your left-hand man. Nobody ever talks about that guy.
That's because he's the secret guy that like does all the assassinations and stuff for you.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Yeah.
I can do that, Tim.
Cool. I'll keep that in mind.
Just in case.
Yeah, I might be calling you later tonight. Just kidding. You guys, it's been a really exciting week because not only is E3 quickly approaching, but we also finally got a reveal of, I guess, a kind of a tease of what the Nintendo online service is going to look like and be. So that's really, really cool. We've maybe got sort of an idea of where we're going with Virtual Console as a result, too, though there's still a lot of questions. We've got Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze available on Switch, which we've got to talk about because I'm feeling a little funky. And we just want to talk about E3 a little bit, some of our expectations and some of the things we're hoping for, slash there's a ton of rumors out. So why don't we start with the online service, because that was last week that got announced. So we are kind of late to talk about this. We're all kind of busy, didn't have time to record last week. So why don't we start there?
The thing is, it was obviously, I think, underwhelming for anybody. Could anybody have really been super psyched about what their announcement was? I have a hard time believing that would be the case. Either you were fine with it because you don't really care about online stuff, or you were disappointed, I think. But ultimately, it's just, it's fine. I think everybody needs to remember also that it's very cheap. So it's like, didn't need to be a knockout. But, I mean, it was whatever. It was... to be expected, I think.
Okay, yes, it's cheap, but I would much prefer to pay double the price and get, you know, things I actually want. Like I'm sorry, 30 NES games that I've played 30 times, that I've purchased 30 times, that I do not want to play again. You know what I mean? Like it could have
so
been
so lame.
And also, they are re-releasing the NES Classic Mini in June. So why, like, you know what I mean? Like, why would I care for these 30 games when I can buy the NES Mini finally and play 30 better games?
Well, to sort of counter that, not that I'm saying it's like the most thrilling thing to ever happen to me, but this is the first time we're getting online play for these.
Yeah.
And so what I am very, very happy about is that means that hopefully going forward, a lot of retro Nintendo games are going to be playable online, because that's a huge thing for me and my other show, Game Boys, which is all about co-op. We have to play in person with a lot of these like virtual console games, which is just not practical when one of us lives in Portland and one of us lives in Seattle. That's a 3-hour drive.
Fantastic. So Nintendo built it just for the Game Boys podcast, because honesty, I was thinking about this. In all honesty, with the amount of games that get released per week, per year, I don't have time to play multiplayer Balloon Fight. Like, I just don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and nobody does except for the Game Boys podcast. Like, seriously, it's just not enough of a draw. And
dude, nobody wants to, even if they have it.
Like nobody wants to. I mean, like, and the thing is, okay, so there's a few things here. Number two, apart from the fact that I'm not like excited about the games that they announced, because they could have given us Game Boy games or GameCube games.
Would have knocked everybody out. All they would have had to say was GameCube games,
yeah,
and everybody would have gone bonkers. It would have been the greatest online ever.
You don't own these games. They are digital. They are part of the online service. You still do not own the games. I would much prefer have the virtual console where I purchased the games, of which, by the way, I purchased many, and I own those games. I can turn on my Wii U and I can play every single Mega Man game. I can play every single original Donkey Kong game and so on and so forth, because I purchased those games. So long as my Wii U works, my account works, I can play those games. I don't know what's going to happen in the long run. Are they going to switch it up? Are they going to remove these games from the online library? Like,
well,
there's so many question marks.
We don't know for sure that they won't sell the old games as well as packages or something like that. All we know is this is like a bonus for people just subscribing to the online, but there may very well be another form of virtual console. Even though they said virtual console is dead, that just meant the brand is, I mean, they the basically said, they said the brand is dead, but that doesn't mean that they won't repackage these old games for you to purchase in some way outside of the NES Classic and Super NES Classic, because I don't count those things at all. Those are just little niche things that nobody can still get their hands on them. Yeah, so we don't know about that. These are little bonuses, but even as bonuses, like Balloon Fight, I don't care if it's online co-op. I mean, it just doesn't matter. I looked at all of they only said 10 of the 30, if I remember right. And all right, Super Mario 3 is on there, fine. Like, that's a great game, obviously. But seriously, these are some crappy games to start your virtual or your online service with. It's just not very wowzer, you know. Some SNES games at least would have made this seem a little bit brighter.
We do have to differentiate. There is a distinction here. We've never had something like this before. Like, you've always just been able to play Nintendo games online. So this is similar to Xbox Live or the PlayStation version that I can't think of right now. It's the same idea as that. And so these are just like the games with gold, the bonus things that you get alongside it. And the wording specifically on their website is enjoy 20 games with new games added regularly. So
okay, hold on a second. So I can play an amazing game like Bloodborne, one of the greatest games ever made, for free on the PlayStation Plus, or I can play Balloon Fight on a Switch.
On my co-op, Rick.
Okay, but the other side of that coin is that Nintendo's providing the cheapest service with the foresight of offering a family plan, so you don't have to just break the bank because all of your kids want to be playing Splatoon online at the same time. That's really cool. This is $20 as opposed to $60, which is what Xbox is at.
I still would prefer to pay $60 and get more content or things I actually want. But the family pack, now here's the thing, this is what interests me, but there's question marks once again. The family pack, so for example, my nephew, his account is on my Switch, but he does not live with me, so can I get the family pack and include him as part of the family pack, and can we share games given the fact that we have two Switch consoles in the same household, even if he doesn't live with me? Like, how does it work? Like, I don't get it. Like, can you and I be part of a family pack? Because we could take the Switch on a go. They don't know where we live. I can go to Seattle and be like, hey, I live here. You can come to Montreal and pretend you live in Montreal. Can we share a family pack?
I mean, these are the questions that we don't really have answers to. Similarly, we don't have an answer for virtual console. We just know that it's dead. This was just in a similar vein. They were like, people kept asking about Virtual Console, and they were like, Virtual Console as a brand is gone. Something else is coming.
Yeah, they did not say something else is coming, but they did say that the brand, they definitely worded it carefully and said they have no plans for the Virtual Console brand in the future. So that's just Virtual Console, though. I mean, I think they worded it carefully so that they wouldn't back themselves into a corner.
Okay, so if I were to get the online service in September, the day it's released, right? So I can play Balloon Fight. What else can I do? I'm not big on Splatoon. Like, maybe Rocket League?
You got Mario Kart, ARMS, the NBA.
Really? ARMS? Like,
I mean, I like ARMS, but like games that they mentioned.
I like ARMS, but nobody plays ARMS. I've been trying to play ARMS online with people since the game got released, and everyone's got online for free. We can all play for free. Nobody wants to play. And
dude, Mario Tennis Aces is coming out pretty soon. That's gonna be online.
That would be dope. But
Smash, of course, later on this year.
The other problem is, if I'm not mistaken, Nintendo is the only, or the Nintendo Switch is the only console in which you have to pay to save your data on cloud. Am I mistaken? Or do you have to pay? Does PlayStation? No, PlayStation and Xbox don't force you, because you can still save your data on like a USB drive or something.
Yeah, they're not the only ones to force you to pay. Like, if you want to save on a cloud, you have to be a member of the online thing, I think, with Xbox PS. But you're right. They let you save. Like, you can save.
There's external storage. Like, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So that is kind of annoying, obviously. Like, as soon as we learned the Switch wouldn't allow for external storage, that was pretty annoying. But at least they have it now, right? I mean, at least they have it. Look, this is an underwhelming service, but it is, nevertheless, it's super. It is cheap. I'm clearly going to get it, because just in case I might even not want to play any games online for all I know. But honestly, at $20 a year, I'm not losing a whole lot. And if I ever want to pick up Balloon Fight just for like 5 minutes, you know, whatever, it's there for me, I guess. The family plan thing, if that makes it cheaper, if it does end up being the case where like my brother and I, who live in two different cities, can be on the family plan together, and you know, or I share it with you, one of you guys or something like that. I mean, then you're talking $5 a year, $8 a year. That's nothing. And I'll pay for that, for the cloud data, you know, saving and for whatever else comes along. So
do you think that the family pack would mean that you and I can share the online service, meaning that we can play those 30 games, which includes Balloon Fight, and we wouldn't have to pay extra, but we can't share the games we purchase? That's what I assume.
Yeah, exactly. That's what people are hoping right now, that at least it just shares the online service. You obviously, you cannot share the games that you purchase, but you can share the online service, which would include, I assume, the games that, you know, we don't know if you're downloading them or streaming them or what right now. So not really entirely sure how those games are
working. This is just an online, very minimalistic reveal on Nintendo.com. This was not the Nintendo Direct or whatever they're going to do to fully reveal this thing. This is just like kind of, I feel like we're seeing the bare bones outline. You say softening the blow, but honestly, I at $20 per year, I was not expecting a huge service. And I think it is fair of them to charge us to play online since everyone else does. So the fact that we were getting that service for free, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's not the end of the world. Like, some people's initial reactions were like, oh my God, I'm selling my Switch. We saw that on our message boards a couple of times. That's ridiculous. Like, it's not that bad, and it's, you know, whatever. But there are some features missing, and that disappoints people, obviously. Well, Nintendo has a history of disappointing people, so everybody better just get used to it. They also have a history of making amazing things, so it could go either way, right? It's missing voice chat. People were hoping that it was going to solve the voice chat thing and the app was going to go away.
I don't know how they were expecting that to happen when there's nowhere to put your headphones on any of the Pro controllers.
No, you just have to sell a controller which has a jack so you can attach a headset.
They could have made a new controller.
Okay, so sell new Joy-Cons or a new Pro controller.
Yeah.
18 million people buy new controllers. I'm sure Nintendo is not going to be sad about the fact that 18 million people are spending their money. Do you know that if all 18 million people who have purchased a Switch so far pay into the $20 a year, they've made $360 million?
It's good to have it. It's good to have it.
$360 million for Balloon Fight. I'm just saying.
for doing a little bit of a port job and making Balloon Fight online playable.
Well, we should really talk about the branding on this thing. Is very interesting to me, because that's
Balloon Fight, by the way.
This is specifically the Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online. This is like, it just comes free with it, but they're specifically calling it the Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online. That's a huge title, but they're very carefully labeling it Nintendo Entertainment System. So do you guys think, like, is it possible that this is just like, hey, come September, this is what you have. But maybe like come October, we also have SNES, Entertainment Online Switch.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think like come like 6 months later is going to be the Super Nintendo. So, and then what they're going to do is they're going to start selling the games individually on the eShop, the NES games, replace them with Super Nintendo games.
What I'm getting at is, if they're releasing old titles with online functionality, right? What I'm really getting at is that if this all eventually gets to like N64 online, so that I can play the original Smash Bros. Online for the first time with my friends, then like you can laugh at Balloon Fight now. But at that point, when I'm playing GoldenEye, all will be perfect and everything is forgiven. And this is no longer like a shame. It's now suddenly as cool as Xbox Live.
Well, GoldenEye will never happen because Microsoft
okay.
owns it.
But like that's the thing. Already, like more than half of the N64 games that are considered great, like the best of that console, they can't get on the Switch anyhow. But the thing is, I mean, the Wii U had an amazing virtual library. Like when it came to the NES games, the Super Nintendo games, the Game Boy games, and they started releasing some later games like the they released like Metroid Prime, the trilogy, they released Galaxy, you know, they released a bunch of stuff, right? I think even some 64 games. But the thing is, they never really gave us a lot, and they never gave us the GameCube game. So are we gonna have to wait 5 years to get these games? Are they actually going to release it for the Switch? Can they release it for the Switch? Like, there's a lot of ifs, and we don't know. All we know is like it's like Patrick said, it's underwhelming. Yes, we didn't expect much from a tweet, okay? Like this announcement first went out as a tweet, and then 2 minutes later Nintendo sent out the press releases to all the journalists. But the thing is, it's like I still to this day, like I still do not know if their plan, their structure, their method of announcing things nowadays, where they release just a bit of information, their strategy, and then later they release a bit more information, then they release all of the information. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because what it does is it keeps Nintendo in the news. So all the bloggers are writing about Nintendo because they're pissed off because they don't like the announcement and it's quote unquote underwhelming. And then 2 weeks later, they release another announcement and everyone's still writing about it. So they're always constantly in the news, right? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing anymore, because they seem to always be pissing people off until they give us the full details. But why don't they just give us the full details in one shot? Like, they did not have to send out a tweet. They could just wait until E3, told us everything we need to know, so there's no question marks, and that's it. You like it or don't like
because it. Because it takes a long time to develop this kind of stuff, and they want to get it as far along as possible before they actually have to show it, just like games.
Yeah, but again, why even announce any of this, and why not just wait till you can actually show it to us?
Probably because it's going to, my honest guess is that this was going to be such a huge looming issue at E3 that if they didn't kind of clear some of the air, then people were going to be really mad at E3 when they were talking about games, and people were like, but the online system or the online service is supposed to be coming out, and we don't know anything about it. Now they can say, oh, you know about it. Here are the games that you're going to be, you have to pay us to play online, and, you know, then they can reveal more about it when they're actually ready to.
Yeah, I kind of don't like this teasing strategy, though, of like, here's a little bit of info, and here's 10 of the 30 games. Like, if you know what the 30 games are, and come on, and they do, just to say that. Like, if you just release some the details that people need to know, because these kind of little teases just provide more questions than answers half the time. It leaves everybody confused, disappointed, you know, in some cases outraged and whatever. And then it leads to a lot more speculation that will in turn lead to more disappointment or outrage or whatever when the rest of the details are revealed.
There's a huge difference between releasing a teaser 30 seconds long for a movie. You know what the movie is. You know who directed a movie, who wrote the movie, who stars in the movie, so on and so forth. It's just a tease. And then you get the full trailer like a few weeks later. But this is kind of like they're purposely leaving out information. And I agree with Patrick. Like, it seems like it's just making a lot of people frustrated.
This is not, I don't think that's comparable. I think we're looking at the IMDb page and there is no trailer yet. You got to wait for the trailer.
Yeah, but you still don't get confused when you look at the IMDb page. You're like, okay, it's in pre-production right now. Like, all right, there's no questions about it. Like, they don't release that information until they have, like, a good solid set of information. Movies generally don't release a ton of stuff until they know everything. Like, they're not going to give you one actor in the movie and then you're like, I wonder who else is in this movie. They're pretty much just going to give you everybody in the movie when they get the full cast list.
This is not a criticism towards the online service. It's just a question mark about Nintendo's marketing, and that's like a whole different conversation. I don't know the answer. I think in some ways it benefits them to always be in the news, for bloggers and critics and journalists to always be writing about Nintendo. I think at the same time it also frustrates people. So I'm not sure what's the best way to go. But look, the online service, we're all going to get it. We can complain all day long. We're all going to get it. It's going to cost $20 with the hope that they're going to release better games. Eventually, Super Nintendo, N64, and maybe, hopefully, GameCube. But that said, I would much prefer to buy a game like Luigi's Mansion and actually own it for my Switch than to have to rent it and maybe it disappears in, you know, before the end of the year.
Agreed.
That's the thing, is that like everyone is automatically assuming, and like to some extent it's looking a little bit like this, that Virtual Console is dead, and instead that maybe we're getting that library system that people have kind of been clamoring for so long. And if like that's the result, like when you own, you have a Netflix subscription, you don't get to own those movies, but you get to watch what's there, right? So if it ends up being that, where you get to play what's there, you don't get to own anything, then like people clamored for it, now you've got to live with it. So I don't know, personally I'm like kind of hoping for that, with the caveat of maybe you get a discount, you get to buy titles so they'll stay on your Switch forever or something. I don't know, that's kind of where I'm hoping though. We just have to wait and see. Like I said, there is a lot of questions. We don't know anything about if they're going to provide a successor to Virtual Console, or if we're just getting some sort of continually updated library attached to the service. We really don't.
More questions than answers. That's what this was. But whatever. I mean, it's the same. Again, it'll be fine. It's really cheap, so it's not the sort of thing that should bother anybody.
Yeah, really. And honestly, like, I'm buying it anyway so that I can continue to play Splatoon. So ultimately, I'm like, cool, I get free NES games. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm reading this. Yeah, I guess my final thoughts, yes, you have to keep using the app if you want to chat with people, or use Discord is another thing I might suggest. I'm really hoping that that app, if we have to use it, I'm hoping that they flesh it out and it basically becomes like the Miiverse 2.0, where you can always take it with you and maybe text friends that are playing on the Switch and use it that way. If that, it turns up being like a super dope app that way, that's like half social media, half where you go to chat with people, I think in the long run it might be worth it. But that's something that I would like to see fleshed out too. Right now it's very bare bones and just doesn't have that Nintendo charm yet.
You know, it's funny because I started playing a lot of online games, so I'm actually chatting with people now. And so for the first time in my life, I actually want this service. Like, I want to be able to, like, you know, not have to use a third-party platform like Discord in order to chat with someone while I'm playing ARMS or Splatoon. So I'm hoping they can release a controller that could hook up to a headset so we can actually start talking to people. I don't think they ever will, but who knows? It's Nintendo.
Yeah. Anyway, that does it for the Nintendo Switch Online. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into E3, some of the speculation, the rumors, and our wildest hopes and dreams. So don't go anywhere. Welcome back to N-Express. Here is our main event, a discussion of Nintendo at E3 2018. You guys, there's some fun rumors kind of floating around, and I think we should start there. One of the most curious rumors has to do with Retro and what they've been working on. So if you don't want to hear any potential spoilers, skip ahead a couple of minutes. But one rumor circulating around these sources is that Retro is currently working on a Star Fox game, but not just a Star Fox game, a Star Fox racing game. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't know. It could be cool if they. I've been hearing things like there's boss fights in it. It's like Diddy Kong Racing. It's got a hub world and there's enemies to fight. So you're probably shooting things. If they could make like a hybrid between Star Fox and F-Zero, where you're racing really fast. Yeah, you're racing, but you're also shooting enemies, and maybe that helps you pick up speed or something, right? And then there's a boss fight at the end. I don't know. That could sort of satisfy old school Star Fox fans, maybe. I don't like the idea of a straight up racing game, though.
Really? I would prefer an F-Zero game, and just give me a Star Fox game that's actually really, really good. I like the last Star Fox game, but it wasn't great. It was just, but yeah. I would just prefer to have F-Zero. Unless if it's F-Zero, which is crossing over to Star Fox, or Star Fox crosses over to F-Zero, so it's F-Zero with the characters from Star Fox. That might be really cool, like a crossover.
Specifically, if it has the puppets, I'm sold immediately.
But what about if it is kind of like a hybrid fighting racing game, or like shooting racing game?
That could be cool. If I think that they have to be careful because Mario Kart is a thing, but there is also like
combat oriented.
Yeah.
There's also boss fights. I mean, come on, Mario Kart doesn't have boss fights. And that's the rumor. That's the rumor out there, that there are boss fights in this thing. So I'm seeing it more of like a Star Fox game that happens to maybe focus some on racing. I don't know. It sounds weird. I'm not super excited about it, but I'm curious to see what crazy idea they have. I have to say, I'm disappointed that this is what Retro's doing, though.
Well, it's funny because I was going to talk about some crazy, wacky E3 predictions I have for this year, which we did a couple of weeks ago, but I have some new ideas. And I was going to say that I think Retro's going to introduce a new Donkey Kong game. And that might sound crazy because Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze just got released on a Switch, but that game originally came out in 2014. So that's 4 years. And it just makes sense that they're re-releasing Tropical Freeze. It's building up buzz for Donkey Kong. And I'm not saying the game's going to come out this year, but next year we'll get a Donkey Kong game. I don't know, man. I mean, it is a rumor. It is possible. I would prefer to see F-Zero. It could be possible, but I would be very surprised if it's a straight up Star Fox game with the label Star Fox. It could be a game with Star Fox in it. It could have like a bunch of Nintendo characters.
I think that if we're talking about the future of Star Fox, I think if we just got kind of like the true successor to 64, but you use the new online service and you all of a sudden have a game where you can actually have up to 4 people like operating as Star Fox and his team, that could be really cool, where you're all kind of doing your own objectives but flying around together. Because we've never gotten that. We've never actually gotten a cooperative Star Fox, really. We had Millennium Falcon mode in Zero, but I want to be flying around as Fox while Rick is flying around as Falco, and Patrick, you can be Slippy, I guess.
Hey, what about Peppy?
Fine, you can be Peppy. I don't care.
I'm the wise veteran.
So I want sort of like a Battlefront game featuring Star Fox characters.
So you want ground missions?
With dinosaurs?
Well, you know, I like the dinosaurs, game, but like a game like Star Fox, sort of like, you know, I've talked about this in the past where, you know, I'm surprised they never made a Star Fox movie, even if it animated, because it's so similar in many ways to Star Wars, which is like huge. But I could picture a game like Battlefront where you can fly like the ships, but also have ground missions. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, I could picture that too. I think that would be much cooler than what they're talking about. But, you know, I'm willing to withhold judgment until I see what's going on. I mean, Retro did help design Mario Kart 8, some of the levels in that. So they're clearly, Nintendo sees some potential for racing games in them. And we all know it's a different Retro than worked on the Metroid Prime games. So, you know, I wasn't expecting a Metroid Prime or anything like that. And there also is another rumor that they were working on a second project, which has been canceled due to a frustrating development.
And where did these rumors surface?
Eurogamer reported them. There was one on Reddit, and then it was also reported on 4chan. But Eurogamer apparently said that their own sources confirmed those rumors. So that was... Obviously, they're still just rumors. These are not facts. They're just rumors. But...
So I think we're going to get a new IP guaranteed at E3. The question is, Does this count as a new IP? Not really, because Star Fox itself is already a character in a franchise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I think we're going to get a fresh new IP with new characters, something that no one's ever heard of. We could get Star Fox, yes. I think we're going to get Pikmin, finally. Not like the Pikmin that was released for the 3DS, but an actual Pikmin game. And I think we're going to get something huge from Ubisoft and Nintendo. Guaranteed, 100%. 100% guaranteed. And
really?
Yeah. There's going to be something big from Nintendo and Ubisoft. And I expect a Battle Royale game from Nintendo.
Yeah, everybody's pointing towards Battle Royale, aren't they?
That's like, but okay, here's the thing. It's like the entire industry does one thing, and then everyone's like, do it, Nintendo. And then they do the opposite, or the thing least expected.
No, they're going to deliver a Battle Royale-like game. It's just going to be completely different than all the Battle Royale games out there. It's going to be way better.
I don't know. Last year, by the same logic, last year, Nintendo should have delivered a hero shooter in the vein of Overwatch, but didn't, right? So I just doubt it.
Well, who knows? I mean, again, this is wacky predictions. It could happen. It all depends on, you know, how close Nintendo's paying attention to these trends. And I mean, a Battle Royale thing does make complete sense for them in many ways. It would be the logical progression from sort of a Smash Brothers style thing.
Yeah, it could be cool if you do some like a riff on the idea and it's totally Nintendo and just like a little bit different.
I don't know, man. I could see Ubisoft and Nintendo teaming up to do a Battle Royale type game because Mario plus Rabbids like is amazing. I played that game again this past weekend.
It really is fantastic.
I buy it more if it's developed by Ubisoft using Nintendo characters at their permission. I think that's a little bit more viable, but I don't know. I think they'd be better off just making Rabbids too.
I think it's going to be a huge year for Nintendo E3. I think Nintendo's going to destroy E3. They're going to steal the show. Sony is not announcing any new IPs. They've announced that today. Microsoft, well, they don't have any IP, so it's going to be like all Nintendo. I'm telling you, we're going to get Pikmin, we're going to get Metroid, we're going to get a bit of Pokemon, we're going to get Animal Crossing, we're going to get maybe Luigi's Mansion 3.
Nintendo, do it.
We're going to get Smash. We're going to get Star Fox. We might even get F-Zero.
Okay, I think you're being ridiculous right now.
I don't think so. I really do not think so. Because I'm not saying we're going to get gameplay footage. I'm not saying we're going to get a full 30-second teaser trailer.
They've said that everything revealed will be coming out in 2018.
Right, but they can always drop, say, for example, a title card during the Treehouse.
Exactly. Remember how Metroid Prime 4, like all those games, they're only supposed to be focusing on 2017 games, but they did drop Metroid
Prime. They might be like, oh, and here's a look at the future, and then start dropping some stuff.
Let me ask you a question, Tim. Smash is coming out when?
Probably holiday. I'd wager November, December.
It's going to come out the last Friday of October.
Maybe if we're lucky, the same week that Odyssey did.
Which is the last Friday of October. They always release a big game the last Friday of October. But then what's going to come out during Christmas? They're going to be releasing a huge IP. What?
Animal Crossing. It is the sleeper. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. I think the sleeper game that's they've just been waiting to announce, even though it's been pretty far along in development, I think it's Animal Crossing Switch. I think that's their big seller. That's one of the biggest franchises they have in terms of being lucrative. So the sooner that makes it to the Switch, the better off Nintendo is.
You do realize they can also give us a tease for the sequel to Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I hope they do. Or even if they're just like, hey, by the way, DLC available now. They could do something like that. And I wouldn't be too surprised by it.
I cannot see Super Mario Odyssey. Do you think they'll make a sequel to that? I'm not convinced that they will.
Yeah, Have you seen the numbers?
Oh, no, I know they say it sold extremely well. It definitely sold extremely well. But at least this soon. I shouldn't say I can't see it happening this soon.
Well, they did it with Galaxy.
They did it really fast with Galaxy, it's true.
But if it's the same story as with the Galaxy, where they had just a bunch of built-up assets and they were working on it already, if the team finished and had a bunch of worlds that weren't quite finished for the release, and so they're just sitting there waiting for a sequel. That's kind of how Galaxy 2 happened in the first place.
No, wait a second. those two games are structured entirely different. Galaxy is comprised of levels, and it's a lot easier to cast out levels that, because levels can fit in a lot of different places, but they were much smaller in Galaxy. What do you do when you're looking at Odyssey? They had to build worlds specifically, and those take a lot of time and effort to make them sort of cohesive. So I think I doubt that they have like worlds sitting around that they didn't use for Odyssey. There might be one, but I don't think it's as many levels as they had sitting around like they did for Galaxy 2. And they could also obviously just do riffs on certain levels for Galaxy 2 as well. I think that was a little bit easier. They'd have to do a game in this, you know, similar worlds, essentially, to do Odyssey 2 this fast.
The scope of Odyssey was a bit bigger. I'll give you that.
Yeah, each world just was, I don't know, it was built
massive.
Yeah. I don't see them as the same kind of game, so I don't think that it's so easy to right off the bat come up with a sequel. I'm not saying it could never happen, though. But that would be a wacky prediction, for sure, if they did something like that. Animal Crossing Shooter, that would be a good one, I think.
Animal Crossing Battle Royale?
Animal Crossing Hunters.
You're an animal, and you just the last animal wins, right?
Animal Crossing Prime.
Animal Crossing Darwin? I don't know.
You walk into an old town and you discover like the secrets that were there. You scan everything, your environment. I mean, you're actually just reading or entering into your log or something like that. Old fashioned logbook. There's all sorts of things to do.
A sci-fi horror version of Animal Crossing that takes place in a dystopian future.
I always thought that Animal Crossing would have made the perfect setting for a Twin Peaks like game. They need Animal to do Crossing, something weird.
Animal Crossing is a Twin Peaks like game.
Doesn't go far enough.
I am totally with you. You can ask my brother all the times that I was like, man, kind of wish they would just like take this one step further and things would get like a little bit more alarming. Like, sure, it is kind of startling when you get attacked by a tarantula, for sure. But what if you're fishing and you got tugged into the water or something like that?
What if those bones you dug up weren't dinosaur bones? Maybe they were that penguin that left town 2 weeks ago and never came back and you never heard from him again.
Yeah. Who used to live in this house? Yeah.
As far as realistic predictions, I like the idea of Luigi's Mansion 3. I feel like they're already getting set to re-release Luigi's Mansion on 3DS.
If it's Luigi's Mansion 3, then we have to swap our dates because end of October is Luigi's Mansion 3, and that means Smash Bros. Is November or first week of December.
Yeah, probably. I think they use marketing in certain ways, and you know, you can like, okay, Donkey Kong is a good bet. Like, it's not impossible that they couldn't have a third Donkey Kong, because you also have Donkey Kong coming, his story coming to Mario plus Rabbids. So it's a nice little crossover just to keep Donkey Kong.
Okay, but wait, if Tim is saying that they're only going to be showcasing games that get released this year during the E3 digital event, then we're not going to see Donkey Kong because it's not coming out this year.
Well, you know,
it might show up in Treehouse.
Here's the thing, with 4 years ago, Donkey Kong could be completely done by now. Retro's been idle for 4 years. Not idle, they've been working on games, but they haven't had their own game in 4 years. That is more than enough time to have a game ready to roll. Remember, we didn't think Smash, like the Smash announcement that it was coming out this year was kind of caught everybody by surprise. I think they could easily pull something like that and say, yeah, Donkey Kong, by the way, it's coming out this winter. It's done already. Like, Retro had been working on, they've been working on something for 4 years, they could easily have this game basically finished.
You want to know it's like a real stretch, but it could happen? Yoshi? I'm totally kidding. Definitely coming out. But they're going to show it off finally. They've been quiet about it.
I can't wait to see more of that game. It looks gorgeous. I can't wait to play that one.
It's been kind of quiet. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, we got to see Fire Emblem too. So Nintendo really has a packed fall and winter. It's packed. I'm not looking forward to the amount of time that I'm going to have to devote to every one of these games.
Look, I've said this before about 20 times. They just need a new IP that's going to kick ass. Nintendo needs, I think, a fresh new IP like every year.
They gave us one last year.
Hey, man, Sony does it. They can do it.
It's tough to have one that kicks ass. You can come up with a new one every year, but you never know what's going to catch on, right?
And Sony doesn't produce them in-house either, is the other thing to consider. They just buy stuff. They just buy companies and what they're working on. So there's a bunch of stuff that's almost guaranteed, like Fire Emblem, like Yoshi. There's a bunch of stuff that would surprise no one, like Pikmin or Animal Crossing. And then there's some stuff that you can only hope for, like Luigi's Mansion 3, but dreams do come true. And who knows? There's a lot of Pokemon rumors kind of floating around right now that if I didn't mention, I'd be a bad Pokemon fan. The most recent rumor being that we might have potentially a remake of Pokemon Yellow. I don't know how I feel about that. I want a new generation.
Can you play a snoring sound while Tim says that we might have a remake of Pokemon?
Do you really need a remake of Pokemon Yellow?
Eventually, I wouldn't mind
no.
it. Because
Tim, the answer is like no. Pennies. You don't need it. You don't need it to survive.
So no.
Okay. Do you want it?
Dear listener, if you're a Pokemon fan, don't worry. I'll punch him for you later. Like, there are people who just want more Pokemon, no matter what it is. Most of the time, they want a new generation. But think about how long ago we have a remake of Red and Blue. But that was already, 10 years ago? The games have come a very long way, and now we're on a brand new console that can take it to unimaginable lengths. So,
you know what? I can kind of see it, Rick, because I've always wanted to play Balloon Fight online. So that dream's coming true. Maybe Simple too.
I'm not calling it my dream. That's not what I want. I just want Generation 8. I want a totally new Pokemon game. Just saying, the rumor right now is that the game is called Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, leading some to believe that maybe we've got Pokemon Yellow or something kind of like it. It's a horrible name. It's the worst. It'll confuse people with Pokemon Go, the app that already exists. It sounds like Hey You Pikachu, which was an N64 game that no one needs to go back to. It also doesn't match with main series Pokemon games, so that's confusing because people are waiting for a game to be called Pokemon single word blank, fill it in, I don't care what it is, Pokemon like dirt and Pokemon leaves. I don't
know.
You know
what? All you Pokemon fans disappoint me, because you know what the best Pokemon game of all time is? It's Pokken Tournament, okay? And nobody bought it.
I bought it twice.
Well, I bought it twice, too. It just did not sell enough copies.
Rick,
not enough people are playing it.
You want to play that online, you got to get the service and Balloon Fight, so suck it.
Moving on.
You got to buy Balloon Fight. I think that's it for all the crazy rumors, and I think that does it for our speculation about E3. Until next week, where I'm sure we'll have even more wacky ideas to throw at you guys. So why don't we take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Donkey Kong's triumphant return, this time on a new console. So don't go anywhere. One of the best Donkey Kong games, in my personal opinion, was Tropical Freeze on the Wii U, so it's only natural that it would get ported over to the Switch, but this was a little bit more than just a standard port, and now we have Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze on the Switch, and we have Funky Kong to go along with it. I haven't bought it yet, but Rick, you did, and you've been playing it for the past week.
Yeah, this is one of the greatest platformers ever made. It's one of the best games released on the Wii U. There's not much difference between this version and the Wii U version, except for the fact that you get Funky Kong, which would make some people happy because the game is tough. So playing with Funky is supposed to make the game easier, and I actually find playing with Funky is actually harder. Maybe it's because I'm used to playing with Donkey Kong or Dixie Kong. So I did try playing with Funky. I wasn't a big fan of Funky, not the character, but just like playing with him. But this game still looks great on the Switch. It might look better. It's hard for me to like draw a comparison because I haven't turned on my Wii U in like a long time. It still sounds good because David Wise is back doing a soundtrack, and it's got one of the best soundtracks for any platformer ever. I love this game, and I've been playing it since about Friday night, I think. So I'm taking my sweet time with it. I don't know if I'm ever going to 100% it, but I'm trying my best to 100% the game.
You could 200% this game.
Yeah, I believe in you. So this is my third time playing this game. And what I noticed most about the game on the third time is just the level design, because, you know, the game is really tough, but now I'm sort of like used to it. I, you know, it's not as hard as it was like the first time playing it. So I notice a lot of things happening in the background and even in the foreground. And it's amazing to see how much character these levels have. Like the levels themselves, like the world itself is a character. Like there's one stage, and I never noticed this before. Maybe I did and I just forgot, where the trees in the background are dancing to the beat of the music by David Wise.
Yeah, it's in the jungle. What is it? The plains, like the African plains stage. The savannah stage.
Exactly. And the soundtrack there sounds like it came from Paul awesome. Simon's Graceland.
It's such a good tune. Everything's just like, that's like joyful gaming during that stage. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and I love the sawmill stage. You know, when you're on the
very clever,
the
mine carts.
The mine carts, and it's weird because the actual level falls apart, and while it's falling apart, it opens up a way for you, the character Donkey Kong, whoever you're playing with, to you know, traverse the level, right? And it's just amazing how all the pieces fall into place. This game is incredible, and I'm baffled by the people who have given it bad reviews. I'm like, really, wait, guys?
Who has given this a bad review?
I'm not sure if it was Trusted Reviews or GameSpot, but on the way home, I just decided to, like, you know, read a review just to refresh my memory, and I think it was GameSpot. They gave it a bad review. They said it was actually a bad platformer. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's hilarious. But I mean, if you go on Metacritic, you'll see that most critics were
the Wii U version or on the Switch specifically.
I believe I was reading the Wii U version.
There were a couple of the outliers who gave the Wii U version a bad review, and nobody really paid attention to them, hopefully. I've been playing this game as well. And I've been playing as Funky Kong because, all right, look, I beat this game on the Wii U. It is a hard game, but I remember just loving it. It's a very fair game. See, I must have died more times here than I did at any point during Celeste, for instance, but I didn't really care for that game, so I just skipped it and went all easy mode. But with Donkey Kong, with Tropical Freeze, this was a game that made me want to keep going. I never felt like I couldn't do something, but I did it already, right? I did it with Donkey Kong. And so I wanted to play through this game as Funky Kong. And I'm telling you, man, Rick, you thought it was harder? Dude, it's so easy with Funky Kong. It makes it like a casual game.
I barely died at all. To me, like, as someone that played it when it was hard, like, okay, I don't want to, like, turn people off by saying it's hard. It's manageable. It's very fair. It's never too cheap.
Yeah.
It's
difficult, though.
It's more, but it's, like, a skill-oriented platformer. Like, a little bit more so than your average Mario. If anyone's played Donkey Kong Country, they get it, right? Those games get hard. But I feel like Funky Kong, to me, looks less like easy mode. Yes, he looks a lot easier, but it looks more like just, like, fun mode, where you have a double jump, yeah?
Yeah, let me explain, like, what he can do. There are reasons he makes it easier. One, he has basically the ability to stand on spikes with his surfboard. So in that sense, he takes Cranky's. He doesn't have the pogo stick, but he can land on spikes like Cranky. Two, he has a double jump. So that gives him, he can reach places that these levels, frankly, were not designed, like, for a guy to be able to do this. So he can, you know, this double jump comes in handy so much. And three, he doesn't require oxygen underwater, so you don't have to be chasing bubbles. You could just stroll along underwater and never have to worry about time running out. There's a puzzle stage in one of the underwater stages where if you know you have to go through the right door, you're picking mystery doors, like which door. It's a big maze. And I remember playing that originally and being every time being like, oh my God, I'm going to run out of oxygen. I'm going to run out of air. Where's the air bubble? Where's the air bubble? And I was swimming furiously to try to find the door that would lead back to the air bubble. Well, in this, it makes this a breeze because Funky doesn't run out of air. There's another thing, though. If you found the bosses difficult, and they could be because they were lengthy and they went through three different phases where you'd have to hit them at least three times in each phase. This Funky lets you bring five items along. And one of those items can be banana juice, which gives you five extra hits. And so if you multiply that by five, if you go to a boss and you're bringing five banana juices plus your five hearts that you already have, that's 30 hits you can take. You'll never die on that boss.
Like that is just too easy. But the thing is, I played with Funky only for one level. Okay, I always get confused. Is it one level, one stage? Like, not the full world, like one level within the world. There's like six stages in each level.
Yeah, stage or level works, I think, for me.
Okay, forget the confusion. The point is, I just did not like controlling them, so I just decided to go back and play with Donkey Kong. But, Tim, you can always swap between Funky and Donkey. So, even if you start the game with Funky, if you go back to the main menu and or turn off the game and come back to it, the next night, you can just switch your character. So if you're having problems with a level, then, you can switch to Funky to get past that specific whatever Patrick's talking about, the underwater level where he had trouble, finding his way out. But then you can go back to Donkey Kong, which is pretty cool. But the thing is...
I think that's great.
And
yeah. That just, don't want to commit too much time. That's the thing for me. I don't mind... mastering a thing and then going about it. But when it feels like you just get to that one part where you're not quite ready for the jump in one of the cart stages, and you just goof it up and then you're dead and you're frustrated. If you can just find a way to get around that really easily, that just removes that that sort of stressful experience that Patrick was just sharing. Because sometimes these games can kind of get there where it's kind of high tension. You're working so hard.
Yeah. Well, really quickly, I'll let you go on, but even when you're playing Donkey Kong in easy, you can play Donkey Kong in easy mode, and the game, it's almost like a compromise, because they give you extra health for Donkey Kong. So, it's at least he's got more hearts than he normally would have on the normal game mode, which you can still play, but it's this middle ground between the cheating, which Funky Kong essentially is, and I'm having a blast, by the way, playing this game casually, but, one other thing, if you're out there to collect all the letters... In easy mode, you can collect them and then die, and you'll still have it collected. Whereas in the original game, you had to do it all in one run without dying. Yeah, anyway, so that's another thing. But yeah, playing Donkey Kong in easy mode is like a compromise between the original game's difficulty and the cheating of Funky.
Yeah, but the thing about Tropical Freeze is that I never found this game to be as hard as the original Donkey Kong trilogy. I found it to be... almost impossible to 100% complete. That's the difference, right? So when I played it for the first time in the Wii U, I was like, there's no way in hell I'm going to 100% complete this game. I can finish the game, but I can't 100% complete it. Whereas with the older games, I found them to be just more difficult as a whole. And the reason being is because in this game, you can play with Dixie and Cranky and Diddy. Although Diddy's not really very beneficial. I find Dixie to be the best out of all the Kongs. But I do like Cranky, and that's the thing about Funky, is Funky has all the abilities that those three Kongs have and more. But that's the thing, what Patrick said is that, when you're playing easy mode, you can still switch to Donkey Kong, not have to just play with Funky, but it's still an easy mode. So it's great for, beginners. It's great for people who don't want to be frustrated playing this really tough, as nails platformer. And I think it's a good move on the part of Nintendo, because you still have the option to play the original hard mode, right? So it's an option.
Yep. It asks you first thing whether you want to play in easy mode. And that's, you have the choice not to. You can play the game as it originally was intended. And it's a great game. The thing is, for anybody out there who's played already and is wondering whether to pick it up, I'm having a blast, just actually playing through it casually. I beat this game already. I didn't 100% it like Rick. I just can't do that. I'm not, I can't invest enough time to 100% this game. But I did get it so that I was able to get the first two K levels in the first two worlds. In the original game. This one, I think I'm going to try to get all the K levels, at least experience all the K levels, even if I don't want to beat them necessarily, because Funky makes it possible. I can explore a little bit more. For those of you who played the game and it was tough and you beat it, like, this is like playing through this game casually and taking time to stop and smell the roses with Funky. And I'm having a blast with it. I'm on the last world now, and I probably will be beating it fairly soon, but I look forward to going back and getting all the collectibles.
Why do you think that these games always look better? Not always, but usually they actually do look better than the Mario platformers. Like, they're gorgeous.
The textures are so much richer. I think
it's like, it goes back to kind of Donkey Kong's DNA. Like, always, it's like kind of an emphasis of the series to, like, think about the first Donkey Kong game. That game looks stellar. Like, it might look a little bit goofy now, but
like, no, it still looks stellar.
It's still, like, compared to everything else on the market, those textures, those, like, visuals, it's got, like, that 3D look in a time when, like, that wasn't a thing. So, like, I think that's kind of been an emphasis, and so, like, they always bring that to the front of the game. It's always a goal for the game, whereas I think Mario, as time went on, got kind of, like, the 3D games look stellar, and they have beautiful textures and gorgeous animation, whereas, like, the current 2D Mario games kind of have a more cartoony look to them, and, like, more rubbery textures that kind of just look like Mario textures. They're not like,
I mean, the Galaxy games are beautiful, but Odyssey is the only game in the Mario series when it comes to 3D platformers that I would put side by side with the Donkey Kong series in terms of how gorgeous the visuals are. Not to say the Donkey Kong games are better, but I'm just saying in terms of, like, the colors, the textures, just the visuals overall, at least the Donkey Kong Country series has always just looked fantastic. The thing about, like, I'm a huge fan of the series. For our listeners who do not know, if you're new to the podcast, we reviewed all of the games last year except for Tropical Freeze. We delayed our review of Tropical Freeze because we knew the game was going to get released on the Switch this year. If you go back and listen to our review of Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii, I think all of us said it's the best in the series. And I think that's one of the best. No? Oh, I think it's one of the best looking platformers.
There was one of us saying that I don't like the original one on Wii. I like this game way more.
Oh, right, because of the controls.
Yeah, I just, like, right. The controls disagreed with me. It looked great. It admittedly played pretty great, but this game just kind of took my breath away. It looked better. Yeah, I think it played a little bit better because the controls were a little bit more straightforward. And I just like this game's flavor. Like, I love the villains. I love the stages. I think it's so fun and so different. And it's not just, like, a return of everything you expect with a Donkey Kong game. It's something a little bit new. They kind of, like, put their own spin on it. And I love the Tropical Freeze idea. It was so fun.
They really put a lot of thought into the design of each world. Like, if you look at the fifth island, it's all, every stage is taking you through the production of the freeze pops that they make.
Is the like, fifth just, island the Juicy Jungle?
The Juicy Jungle. So it starts out with them harvesting the berries, and then later on you see everything get frozen, and then it all gets cut up, and it all culminates in the boss fight, where the boss is eating one of these freeze pop things or whatever, and you knock it into the water, and he gets all upset about that, and then you end up having to fight him over it. But just the idea of every single stage is like a stage in the production of these freeze pops. It's kind of funny that an entire island revolves around that, and they do it so well. Like, if you look through it as you're traversing through the stages, everything's progressing constantly. It's almost telling its own little story through the six or seven stages that you play to get to the boss. Like, it's a really cool how they design these worlds. And when you go to the Savannah Island, how it goes from just the happy-go-lucky savanna to all of a sudden the whole place is on fire and there's a massive tornado and, like, just everything goes completely to ruin because of this owl that's, I think it's the
owl. Oh my god, the owls.
Yeah, the owl is an asshole. that's still a tough one. I don't care how you do it. So anyway, they really put a lot of thought into the stage designs for this, and it's so cool all the things that are going on in the background and all the massive enemies, like the giant squid, and it's just there's too many things to look at. That's why one of the reasons I like Funky Kong is I can just sit back, relax, and look at these things and enjoy just their production design.
So I haven't picked it up yet, but I think just kind of taking it casually and absorbing everything that there is to just see I think that is a really good reason to rebuy a game that, like, previously I kind of was like, I've played it. I don't need to buy another game, especially since my backlog is big enough. But I do love a game on the Switch, and this is one of those ones where I'm like, this might be enough to go back. And it is undoubtedly one of the heights of the Donkey Kong series, which is saying something. Those games are all stellar platformers.
Not just a series. It's one of the greatest 3D platformers ever made.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So it's like I bought the game again for a second time, despite the fact that now I have a huge backlog because of you guys. Remember last podcast we were talking about backlog? Well, guess who went out to the store and decided to purchase like 15 games?
You who said you had no backlog now suddenly have the largest backlog.
So if you have a Switch and you just missed the Wii U and didn't get to play this game, or you like platformers, or you want to just take another crack at it, I honestly think this is probably worth it at this time, even at full price. Make your Switch library that much cooler. Make it that much more funky.
Best part about playing Funky Kong, the parrot is minding the store, and he's got some great wisecracks. He makes lots of puns, Tim. You'll love him.
Yeah, I think I have to pick this up. Plus, these characters are all just great. Just a fun family.
It's no more than 15 hours of gameplay. It's totally worth buying again.
Oh, dude. Yeah. And with Funky Kong, seriously, I'm going to be done in like 5 hours. It's made the game that much easier.
Which is just like, it's so welcome. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just want something a little shorter. Like, 15 is a commitment. 5? That's super manageable. So.
Yeah, and in the future, I know myself. Like, I love this game so much. There will be times where I'll be like, I want to play the Savannah stage again. And I'll just go back and play the Savannah stage. That's what this game is great for. I'll get my playtime out of this, but it'll be in little spurts of, like, I feel like playing a stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know what? I might save this game and buy it right before E3 so I have something to play on the plane. That might be what I end up doing. But who's to say? What we can say right now is that you should go buy this. This game's amazing. And thank you for listening, because that's the end of our show. So, Patrick, where can we find you online?
You can find me online at Sorted Cinema on Twitter, and of course at GoombaStop.com, which you should always check out. We have tons of movie coverage from the Cannes Film Festival this year. So if anybody out there is interested in movies, seriously check out some of these things. I know a lot of people don't pay attention to Cannes anymore in this country, it's kind of losing its relevance a little bit, but definitely check them out. This is worldwide cinema, and it's the sort of thing that if you're into movies, you should definitely be paying attention to.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was kind of blown away about how many films were covered. They've been working overtime over there. Rick, how about you? Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Goomba Stomp. You can find me on the website. I'm not doing much writing these days. I'm taking about a month off, but I'll be back in June. I'll be writing a lot. And this week we're going to be posting a huge article in which a bunch of writers from the Goomba Stomp staff are going to be, I guess, predicting, making their crazy predictions for E3. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I am Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N. You can also tweet at me and express Nintendo. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze? What are your predictions for E3? I'd love to know. Honestly, the wilder, the better. But of course, stay tuned to us here at N-Express. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming your way. And there's a lot of good stuff coming up to Goomba Stomp very shortly. So stay tuned to both those sources. We'll talk to you more next week with all things Nintendo. Thanks again for listening. See you later.